Hello and welcome to the Heresy Lodge. I am your host, Dylan Cooper, the Constant Coast over here.
Gavin Franklin.
Guys, this week we will start talking about the Fellowship of the Ring. There was some Warhammer drama. We know most of our listeners came from when we did Horus Heresy and Siege Terra. So Warhammer fans, shit happened. We're still listening, so we might as well talk about it.
I have no idea what it is, so you'll be listening to a live reaction to this drama.
I have a feeling you're going to have the same reaction I had. It's going to be, I don't give a shit, but yada, yada, yada.
Okay, I'm interested.
Before we get into the fun, though, Gavin, what are you drinking?
Okay. I'm drinking some mead. I actually have, like, a shit ton of new mead right now.
Nice.
So, I got some mead from a meadery at the beer festival. And then I just went to Gatlinburg and Savannah Bee Company was there. And Crafted, which we have to visit Crafted at some point. And it's in Ohio.
Oh, what the fuck?
And they make the best mead. It's incredible.
We're changing our bachelor party.
So going to Ohio. So this mead is made in South Bend. Perry Vine is the name of the meadery. This guy, he said he didn't even know what mead was. He was making wine for the longest time. Well, he was really making mead, but he called it wine because he just liked honey and they liked drinking wine. So let's try this. Like, he kind of like reinvented mead.
One of those things you're like, man, I'm so fucking smart. And then
somebody
that's been around for 500 years.
Somebody told him, or I think it might have even been a legal entity, said, hey, you can't call this wine. So this is just their base honey wine, and like it's pretty fucking good. Like, it's impressive. Definitely, I'd say, like, probably top three, like, best base meads I've ever had.
That's fair. Again, I'm blessed with my wife and her choices that she brings me for beer.
So good that she doesn't listen to the podcast.
It's the best thing in the world. Highly recommend not drinking anything I have that I've said my wife has picked out. So I have from Taxman Brewing, my least favorite cult in the Midwest, the No Sparge Imperial Golden Ale. What does any of that mean? I don't fucking know. There's a thing here on the side for sparge.
Is it dark?
No. It is not dark. It looks like a blonde, and it tastes like a port. I don't know. It's fucking rough. But
that is really
a sparge
weird.
Is to rinse or sprinkle. To run additional water through a partly or completely drained mash to extract more fermentable sugars.
So that's a weird. I don't know about beer labeling very much. I just know what tastes good. But when I think of Imperial, the only thing I've ever heard of with Imperial stout? Is an Imperial Stout.
Yeah, no, this is a Imperial. What did I say?
Gold.
Golden. It's gold. It tastes like a fucking stout, though. It's tough, but I'm a trooper. Mama
that
didn't
is
raise.
Really weird.
No bitch.
It's a tough one. You want to run through our how to get in contact with us?
Yeah. So, guys, hit us up on the Discord. It's a lot of fun over there. We have a monthly book club. This month we are doing Red Rising. We haven't picked out next month's yet. Normally that happens after we've discussed this month's. Check it out. If you just want to join the book club, no big deal. It's fun. We also have movie nights, hobby time. It's a good time. Find that pinned to our Twitter at Heresy Lodge. You can email us at theheresylodge@gmail.com. Check us out on YouTube at Heresy Lodge. We have merch. I'm actually currently wearing an old shirt. Still waiting to get the transparent background to start the new merch with the new logo.
It's been a month.
Yeah, he's a big Purdue fan. And yeah, we're just in the finals. That really took away a lot of things. And he lives in Arizona. So he went to the game. So I'll give him a little pass. But yeah, that's it. Check it out. It's fun. Just a bunch of people to hang out with. It's a good time. Gavin, are you ready to hear the Warhammer drama?
Lay it on me.
Games Workshop has decided they're all their powerful means that there is female custodes. Yep.
I see.
And according to Games Workshop, they've always been there. This isn't new.
Yes. I remember reading about the female custodians.
Yeah, yeah, they were very prevalent throughout the Siege of Terra and the Horus Heresy.
Of course. I remember.
It was that, like, there's that one, right?
That, yeah. It was the one that was in the planet.
Maybe.
I thought that this was all... Now, okay. Here are my thoughts on this whole... First of all, like, I don't give a shit.
Same. I had the exact same... That's what I said. I think you're on the exact same reaction I had.
Like, here's the thing. If they... I totally understand that the Warhammer universe is a little too masculine. Like, I get that.
Yeah.
It's absolutely true. It's kind of ridiculous. Now, I don't think the solution is retconning all of your lore and then gaslighting your fan base.
Yes, I agree. I am totally cool with it. Like, whatever. But just say that, like, Carl or whatever his name, like, figured out a way to make it not just men. Like,
yeah,
give us the first female custode. Like, don't just say, oh, they've always been there. You're just fucking idiots. We have never exclusively said men. Like, we'll point us out one that wasn't.
Like, they're literally trying to convince you that the audiobooks.
Oh, yeah.
Like that, like, he's like kind of making a girl voice there. Can't you
tell? God, this is super girly.
Like, yes, there are entire articles about how, you know, Space Marines are exclusively male.
Yeah.
But the custodes, guys, you idiots.
Yeah, it's just. And, you know, of course, there's like people in an uproar that there's a female custode, which, more power to you, I guess. I don't know. It's fucking weird to have a weird hill to die on. But Games Workshop saying that, just trying to gaslight you and be like, oh, they've always been there. It's just such bullshit.
That is, of course, classic. Yeah, I mean, like, look, there is an entire group of, I believe that the group of people that play Warhammer and the people that are into the strong mommy fetishes overlap pretty drastically.
You know, I could kind of see it.
Yeah, you're either...
I mean, remember when you looked up Latara Sarin?
Huh?
So you remember when you looked up Latara?
Yeah, I remember when I looked up Latara. I remember when I looked up Euphrates Keeler and she was wearing like no clothes with a six pack out of nowhere, even though she was clearly written as just like this incredibly starved, frail woman.
No, she's fucking hot and strong and she will smash your head with her thighs.
Your fucking Shadow Son is like fucking jacked on those pictures.
That's true too.
I mean, I don't know. I think that's so silly of Games Workshop to do. Just make it like, exactly, like, make it. No one would give a shit if it was like, hey, let's take a character that's a Sister of Silence and she's going to, through some backdoor means, go through the custodies process and become this like huge badass that saves this planet.
Or like
doing that, and then she starts, or a Selenar, like actually make it a thing.
Yeah,
there's
so many avenues that you could do this and do it well, and they're like, nah, dude, that's always been a thing. Fuck you. Cool. You're just idiots.
This is why, man, like, a lot of people are huge in our community are big fans of Warhammer, but I think very few people are big fans of Games Workshop. And it really, like, I think maybe for me and you, it wasn't just the time, but it's like, that company sucks ass. And if I'm going to spend my money, I really don't want to do it anymore with companies that suck ass. Like, I'm going to use capitalism to my benefit a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it sucks. Like, I like Warhammer. Warhammer's a lot of fun. But it's also a fucking chore at the same time. And then you have the company itself is just ran by a bunch of asshats that just change everything at a whim and then just tell you that you're just a fucking idiot. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah. They constantly make decisions that not only just shit on their fan base, they constantly retcon things. They constantly make decisions that are opposing of each other. Like, I've never seen a company. Well, actually, I see it more frequently now, unfortunately, but they're like, hey, we literally design lore to be super ambiguous so people can make run with their complete imagination on anything that could happen, but also don't make any fucking content about our IP with that imagination, you pieces of shit.
You put a fucking space marine in your background and I will fuck you to death financially.
But I want you to, like, think about that space marine in your background and then convince other people without showing them the space marine to buy space marines.
It's amazing.
We're going to sell plastic at absurd numbers because you'll buy it and then get furiously mad when other companies are selling a product that's really easy to make for less money.
You remember Warhammer Plus?
Oh boy, do I.
I have not heard of anything like popular coming out of that in a long time.
Turns out wasn't a great investment, and it would have taken a monkey with half a brain to tell you that.
Like, you could have just signed a deal with Netflix and let their studios do stuff that are, all they do is crank shit out. Some of it's good, some of it's bad, but hey, it's probably better quality.
I mean, we talked about this. Look at what Riot Games did. With their
with Arcane, it's fucking awesome, great.
Phenomenal.
But I'm hoping, I hope that the TV show is gonna be really fucking good. But I also really don't want Games Workshop to profit a fuck ton off of it.
Yeah, that's true. Like, you are in such a weird spot as a fan.
That's probably a good time to buy their stocks because it just plummeted because a female stones out.
Oh, did it really plummet?
Yeah, but hey, man, it'll jump right back up once Ender Cavalry. This is episode one.
Classic. So classic.
We are now the Wall Street Bets subreddit. Come to us for all financial advice. I take a fee.
I mean, oh man, that just blows my mind. I mean, GW, it's such a terrible spot to be as a fan base where you're like, wow, I can't wait for the Warhammer TV show. But also, I already know I'm going to hate some aspect of it, and it's probably not the actual content.
Yeah.
It's probably what GW is going to do with it. It sounds fucking miserable.
Yeah, well, apparently, like, so Tacticus, the mobile game, like, the reason that, like, they can't just, like, come out with campaigns and stuff is because GW has to approve it first. Apparently, that's a fucking slow-ass process, too.
Well, I'm sure. GW likes to, I still don't have the last book of the Siege, and there's like no fucking reason. There's no fucking reason. I try to think like, okay, maybe everyone's buying the last book because it's the last book. But like, it's also a part of a 3-part volume.
Yeah.
And no problems getting the other two. So it's very clear to me that GW, and this is another shit, like I just can't stand, I physically hate this. GW tries really fucking hard to create scarcity in their product. They do.
I could sell both my limited edition books that I have for Angron and Karn for probably triple what I paid for them.
It's so gross.
It's because they made like 1,000. Why?
Yeah. And it's with their fucking products too. This makes no sense to me. Mauler Fiends become popular, And now you have 200 people that want to buy a Mahler Fiend. Well, you sell them for $80. So I feel like that's profit enough for you to go, hey, turn on the one forge that does Mahler Fiends.
Yeah, I'm sure that maybe cost them $8 to make.
Yeah. I'm like, no, Mahler Fiends are not a good example, but Vortex Beast is, I think, what I was trying to say. How many
Mahler Fiend, man? It's super cool.
I mean, they're great. I love them. Like, how many people were wanting Vortex Beasts? And it was like, well, when are you guys going to make them? And they're like,
well, fuck, when the Rollators came out, trying to get 8-bound was hell.
Yeah.
I had to go through 3 different websites to get as many as I have. I had to go through Warp Minis or Warp Fire Minis. I had to go through GW, and I had to go through Amazon.
It's very
like 6
clear.
Boxes.
It's very clear to me that like GW is focused very hard on like only releasing new miniatures.
Yeah.
Like 80% of their production has to be towards like combat boxes, and that's it. But their game does not align with that at all.
That, and they don't give out enough either.
Yeah.
Speaking of new things, Emperor's Children are supposed to be coming.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they are getting like their own little index.
So is Fulgrim coming out?
What?
Is Fulgrim coming out?
He's going to have to, right? They have all the other ones.
I don't know. I just built Mortarion. I've got Magnus. You've got Angron.
I'll buy a sexy snake. I won't. I still only have Angron half built.
Maybe I should buy the sexy snake.
Look, man. I just need you to come over and build my shit for me and maybe paint them.
Well, you'd think how much you'd pay for them and just come pre-built.
Honestly, that would be a lot more fucking convenient. Pre-build the shit and let me just paint it.
It's very like obvious to me that GW at one point said it's way more difficult to get new customers into Warhammer. So let's fucking abandon that entirely. And then just try and sell slightly tweaked models with way better rule sets to the existing customers that we have.
You know, I would spend slightly more money if it came pre-built.
Yeah, I would agree.
Like, if a box was like $10 more pre-built, I'd buy that box.
Like, pre-painted?
I don't even know if you need it pre-painted. Even just, I mean, primed, I think would be fine.
It's the worst part to me, is the painting.
It saying's the hardest part, but I think the building is the most time consuming between cutting, gluing, fucking trying to scrape off all the extra bullshit.
I don't do any of that.
Well, you definitely fucking glue it.
No, I just kind
here
of
is the together, screw.
Piece it together.
Figure out the height from here.
It stays there. All right. So GW sucks ass. We can all agree to that. Lord of the Rings.
The Lord of the Rings. The Fellowship of the Ring.
So, I'm really liking this book.
I like it too. I think it's written better so far than The Hobbit. I think the point of views are way better. We're actually just in Frodo's point of view. And it makes it's just way easier to follow. The first part of this book, though, was like 80 pages of just like the history of Tolkien and the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And I read that.
Yeah.
So I'm a little behind.
Some of it was interesting. Some of it not so interesting.
Slog.
The history of the hobbits, I could have done without.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything else was good. Now, remember when we were reviewing The Hobbit? And I talked a lot about how, like, he drew influence clearly from World War One.
Yeah.
Well, I feel bad for saying that after reading some of these notes. And I want to read a paragraph from the beginning of this book, because I think it's one of the most well-articulated points of, like, frustrations of authors. He said, other arrangements could be devised according to the tastes or views of those who are who like allegory or topical reference. But I cordially dislike allegory in all its manifestations, and always have done so since I grew old enough and wary enough to detect its presence. I much prefer history, true or feigned, with its varied applicability to the thought and experience of readers. I think that many confuse applicability with allegory, but the one resides in the freedom of the reader and the other in the proposed domination of the author. So Tolkien was very against critics in particular that read his works and compared it to World War One and World War Two, which was what he was going through during The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And he was very adamant about saying, I just wrote a story. And he said, look, another part in this story, he said, I'm not going to say that my life didn't influence my writing. That would be insane. No one can say that. But I think it's more likely that me as a writer went through a war and you as the reader at the time are going through a war. So don't you think you're just trying to find that connection in the reading? And I think that's a really good point. And a lot of times books about war kind of seem like they're connected to a war.
Yeah, that's fair.
So Tolkien pushed really hard on the aspect that he was just writing a fucking story. And that paragraph really made me think, like, how when we were reviewing all these authors from the Warhammer universe, like, they probably just wanted to write a fucking story.
Yeah. I think that shows. Yeah. I mean, there was like 70 books and like 60 of them were shit.
The story was never concluded too, which was a bit of a bummer.
Yeah. I also liked how, like, in, like, sorry, I don't think it's an actual preamble. It's just like a about the series type of thing that, like, the reason why it's like split up, like, it was supposed to be a one, but it talked about how, like, there were so many like printing errors that he was like, fuck that. It pissed him off, like, that, like, things were just like wrong, like the way like things were spelled or like worded. He's like, that's not how it's supposed to be. So it's like, fuck it, we're cutting it up.
Yeah. It really, and it goes to show too that, like, The Lord of the Rings was 100% Tolkien's passion project. Like, he wasn't a paid author. He didn't have some sort of quota that he had to make. Like, this is what he did for fun.
Yeah.
And I think that shows, like, he enjoyed what he did. I'd be really interested to read more. I know Tolkien did a lot of, like, criticism of work as well. And I wonder how pompous Tolkien got after Lord of the Rings released, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of like, he's almost like the grandfather of fantasy, really.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he influenced so much shit.
Well, one of those series that I know he criticized pretty heavily, and it was released not too far after Lord of the Rings, was Dune.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tolkien was not a fan of Frank Herbert's Dune, mainly because Tolkien's work is very cut and dry, like black and white. Like, there is an ultimate evil and there is an ultimate good. There's not a lot of redemption for characters, whereas Dune is literally about, like, the duality of man, in a sense. And you have characters who are both good but doing bad things to achieve their goals.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think he, like, well, it's kind of weird, though, because, like, Gandalf is kind of, like, an asshole, right? But
and The Hobbit, for sure.
I mean, he might seem that way so far in The Fellowship. I'm not sure what I think of Gandalf yet.
Yeah.
But it's, like, you have Bilbo and Frodo, who are kind of just these, like, super good people. And then you have Gandalf, who just seems like an asshole. And there's a lot of selfishness in a lot of these characters, I think.
Yes, I think so far from what I've read, like, Gandalf, it kind of seems like every single person is very scared of stuff.
Yeah.
And they're really pushing off what they have to do to other characters. And a lot of it does fall to, and I think we saw this in The Hobbit, it fell towards either Bilbo or Frodo to do them.
Yeah.
Mainly the ring is kind of a big deal here. Like Gandalf literally was like, I think maybe you should do it. That'd be too hard for me.
Yeah, Gandalf. I don't know how I feel about Gandalf as like a character. He's kind of just like an asshole, and I don't like, he's not really like that brave. He's not like, I don't really know what his redeeming qualities are.
Mm-hmm.
Other than he's probably strong.
Well, he's considered, and I may be incorrect on this, but essentially Gandalf is an angel. I think he's more supposed to be like, the concept of Gandalf is he was sent at first to fight the evil of, I think at the time it was Sauron. Like, I think it, Gandalf came after Sauron's daddy, Morgoth. I think it was Sauron. And all the wizards were sent. They were basically angels. They were selected by various different gods. And each of them were trying to rule over various different things. And Saruman in particular was like the person of order. Like, he had to figure all the shit out. Like, he was the guy that figured it all out. And Gandalf very much so became like obsessed and really interested in the people of Middle Earth instead of trying to be this like angelic being conceptually.
Yeah.
And so that's why he got really into the hobbits and smoking weed and hanging out with dwarves and getting gold and all this stuff. Like, he became very human compared from what I know to like Saruman, for instance.
I just want to pause real quick. Like, in my brain, I'm like, man, why am I feeling this beer so hard? This is a fucking 12% beer.
It's a 12% wine, dude. Like, get over it, man.
All right, I've had 12 ounces. What have you had, like, fucking one?
No, dude, that's about 12 ounces.
That is not 12 ounces. The whole fucking bottle is, like, 18.
Are you sure?
I think it's, like, 22, 23.
You think it's 750 milliliters. I'm not smart enough to do that math, but I'm
pretty what's like milliliters?
50 ounces.
Millimeter to ounce. 1 millimeter is 3 ounces.
Millimeter? That's a...
Oh, this is cubic millimeter.
Distance. No, you need to look up. Milliliters, not millimeters.
Oh, shit, yeah, milliliters is very different.
This guy, yeah, you're really...
Okay, a milliliter is 0.03 of an ounce.
Well, dude, what's 750 milliliters then?
750 is 25 ounces.
Yeah, it's 25. I'm about there.
You have barely had any.
All I'm trying to say is, well, how many cubic...
I have drank half your bottle of meat of this beer.
How many cubic millimeters are there?
I don't even know what a cubic millimeter is. What is that, a 3, a 4, a 5 little number?
It's what, if a cube had a millimeter on all sides, that's what a cubic millimeter would be.
What the fuck's a cube?
Oh my God.
Look, I am American. I do not believe in millimeters.
People are tuning in, Dylan, to listen to our views on a book. How are they supposed to listen to us seriously?
Well, we don't know what millimeters are? I agree.
This is important. This is important.
All right, guys. Look, we are very American. All right. We don't believe in that European bullshit metrics.
But we will read European books and play European games.
And we will throw your fucking European tea in the ocean, goddammit.
If Warhammer made us measure distances and millimeters,
you bet your ass I wouldn't play, because I wouldn't understand.
Now, I don't play now anyway.
But if I did, god damn it,
I'd be like, what is this cubic millimeter shit?
This guy's got 6 mile movement. I'm gonna throw them.
So let's get started. Chapter one, The Hobbits. They're throwing Bilbo a birthday.
Well, Bilbo's throwing his own birthday because that's how hobbits throw birthdays. It's they true. Throw their own party and they give their own guests gifts, which is the shittiest birthday I can imagine.
I was reading that and I was like, I think I'm going to make that a tradition in my house.
Your birthday's coming up. I can't wait.
No, not this year. Next year.
No. It sounds like I'm expecting a gift for your birthday.
I can't do it this year because my fiance just had her birthday. That wouldn't be fair. I want a gift from her.
And she next should have year. Read the fucking Fellowship of the Ring. She would have had the same idea.
Well, now I'm at the same. All my birthday gifts have been purchased already. What am I going to do?
you give them away. You say, I'm sorry. This is not my it is my birthday to celebrate for you for being in my presence.
They're intangible. I'm going on a bourbon tour.
Oh, you're taking everyone. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm taking everybody. I invited people to do. I'm very hobbit like.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So he still throws himself a birthday. I didn't know this. This kind of blew my mind. Frodo is not a Baggins.
No, he's a Bucky something. Bucky Creek.
Brandy Buck.
Brandy Buck. Yeah, that's it.
Which is Mary's. He's related to Mary.
Yeah.
But Bilbo adopted him. And there's two reasons Bilbo adopted him. He liked Frodo, and he didn't want to give his money to relatives he didn't like.
This is my biggest question. We know the history of Bilbo. He went on this grand adventure. You're telling me no hobbit wanted to fuck that?
I don't know.
How was there not a significant other for Bilbo? You're telling me all them lazy fuckheads all were having children, but not Bilbo? Bilbo wasn't getting any?
I've got my theories, man. Bilbo was a rich man. Maybe Bilbo was gay.
I mean, maybe. I'm fine with that, but why did we not see... Maybe Tim and Gandalf.
Maybe Bilbo was
they didn't talk about all the bunch of dwarves coming in that. Maybe he was with a dwarf. I don't know.
Maybe.
It makes sense, Hobbit and dwarf.
I'm just saying, like, I'm sure, because, look, the adventure part, the hobbits don't like adventures. But they love money. And Bilbo was
a shit ton of it.
Women and money. And you're telling me not a single girl was like, oh, Mr. Baggins.
You can bag me, Mr. Baggins.
Can I get some of that money?
Yeah, I mean, apparently he has like caves or shit. Like they had, like, imagine that he just has buried treasure everywhere in his house. Yeah. So, which we know, like, the trip he went on, like, was it really that much gold? I mean, he carried it on a pony.
Well, I mean, I think, like, that's a lot of gold. He had two chests. And then he got gold.
How big is a chest, right? Like, I'm imagining, like...
Yeah, like a chest, like... Like, I'm thinking, like, at least 35 cubic millimeters.
I don't understand the math. What is a millimeter cubes?
I think that's a very small amount. That's a very small chest. I don't know.
God damn it, American public education.
But he adopted Frodo. And Frodo also is just not about the girls. It just kind of seems like if you're a hobbit and you have money, like,
you're girls just down are bad. I'm okay.
You're just down to fuck exclusively.
But even then, I don't know. We have not had any sexual relations.
Not even between an elf and a dwarf. I mean, I really liked that.
We had a human bear guy have kids. And you're telling Bilbo fucking Baggins couldn't have a child Something sounds off to me.
I'd have Bilbo Baggins' child. You kidding me? What's going on? I wonder if that was ever like a... It was a conscious decision made by Tolkien, right? Because like he could very easily have been like, yeah, he had Frodo.
Yeah. I don't... Maybe he just didn't want to like...
Want the audience to think about Bilbo fucking...
Maybe or like he didn't want, like, because, you know, like the woman would have to die in order for the inheritance to go to the kid, so maybe it was just easier for Tolkien to be like, all right, you just adopt someone and that person gets the inheritance.
Sure
Sounds like a cop-out, Tolkien, now that you can hear this.
I bet you had a nasty ass sex scene written up and you decided, nah. So they have the 111th birthday party. And I don't know, like, it was fun to read about, but like nothing really crazy happened. I mean, Gandalf comes, he's got his crazy ass fireworks. It's very similar to what happens in the movie, like almost to the T. Except for the fact that Gandalf fights with the fireworks. Merry and Tuke are not Merry and Tuke. Merry and Pippin, yeah, are. Pippin. They're not really involved. And Sam is not Frodo's friend in the beginning.
He's his gardener.
He's a gardener. We knew Sam was a gardener, but it kind of seemed like they hung out. I didn't get any inclination of them ever hanging out. Like, Frodo hung out with Merry and Pippin.
I really don't understand that, like, the Hobbit hierarchy, because like Sam calls Frodo as like his master and stuff, but it's not like Sam's not like a slave. He was this, he was this fucking gardener.
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm really confused on the dynamic. I mean, maybe Frodo's a Dom. I don't know.
That might be what's happening, dude.
I just don't understand, like, why, like, he calls, like, Frodo his master, and, like, why he's, like, so, like, almost obsessed with Frodo.
I'm putting together some context clues.
And, all those, like, there's a lot of arrows written soon.
There's a lot of arrows pointing in a very particular direction. So, Bilbo puts on his ring as, like, a disappearing act, right? He was like, oh, I'm going to leave all the hobbits now, puts on his ring and leaves. And Gandalf knows about the ring.
He also, his like speech and like how much he hates his family cracks me up.
He does. He hates every hobbit.
And, you know, I don't blame them. They were assholes.
They were fucking dicks. Because after Bilbo left, they tried to, like, break into his house to steal his shit. And Frodo's like, hey, this is, like, mine now, legally. And they're like, prove it. Why do you think it's yours, dude? Like,
what the fuck is wrong with all you people? Like, we had, like, even, like, at the end of The Hobbit, right? Like, his house is up for auction. And, like, one of his family members, like, stole some of his fucking spoons. Shit's wild.
He gave them spoons as his going away gift.
That cracked me up.
It was very good. It was very good. Tolkien does write some pretty good, like, situational comedy, I feel like, in this book. But Gandalf knows about the ring, which is surprising to me, because I don't ever remember Bilbo telling Gandalf about the ring.
Yeah, because he wasn't there at the initial, like, telling of the story.
Yeah. So I would imagine maybe some other time Bilbo told Gandalf about the ring. And
essentially, in the movies, doesn't he, like, have a sit-down with Gandalf and tell him, like, the story and not, like, all the dwarves?
I don't think so. I don't think Gandalf ever finds out about the ring in the movies either.
Huh. Weird.
But you do get the scene where, like, Bilbo's leaving and Gandalf's like, well, are you going to leave the ring? And Gandalf has to basically interrogate Bilbo into leaving the ring. Yeah. Bilbo just takes off. No one ever fucking finds, like, sees him again, or at least the hobbits at this point. And the craziest part, difference to me, is like the span of time in between the scene that Gandalf's like, hey, keep the ring secret and safe, Frodo, but don't put it on. I'll be back. Is like 12 to 15 years.
Yeah, it's a long fucking time. Like, that's not like, hold on to that for a minute. Like, he just fucking like, he like shows up like every like few months, I guess, and then like disappears again. And then like at one point, he's just gone for like 6 or 7 years.
9 years.
Yeah, 9 years.
And like in the movies, it's like, yeah, I knew like it was a while because it shows him like riding to Osgiliath, which is like the city at the end of the movies. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that's a journey. But I think maybe like 2 or 3 years. No, they did a whole lot more shit in between that time. Like, I had no, the stuff that happened, Gandalf, along with Strider, basically find, kidnap, and torture Gollum.
Yeah. You can find out everything from about Gollum.
That was crazy. And like, he basically, there was a whole like story of like the flashback between like how Gollum got the ring. So I think like Tolkien had that chapter planned out way long in advance. Like it, and he wrote about that a little bit, about how like he wanted to pursue the ring. So he thought first I had to figure out how Gollum got the ring. So that's what he wrote first.
Yeah.
But in the movies, it was, I loved the scene because it went and like showed the flashback between the war of men, elves, and orcs, and how Isildur doesn't throw the ring away. It doesn't actually show that Isildur in the books like had the option to throw the ring away. It's just like, yeah, and then he took it.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. 9 years passed. It's a big jump.
It is a big jump. And like, Frodo, so like the coming of age of hobbits is 30, which is fucking crazy. And then Frodo doesn't really leave until he's 50.
Yeah, he's 50 years old when this shit happens.
That's fucking nuts.
Yeah. I mean, they talk about all of these, like, almost any fantasy novel you read, the main character is going to be in their 20s, like they're 15 to 22.
Yeah.
Anything older, it's like you're done.
Well, it's because everything's downhill. All right. Your knees start hurting. Your back hurts.
Yeah.
Your balls hurt.
You're at that point, once you pass 22, you're like the old wise guy that dies in the first book.
Yeah. Fair.
And this book, it's like, no, 50. So I'm waiting for 50. Everything else has already passed me up. I'm waiting to have to go to Middle Earth and deal with a ring of power.
Yeah. And so, like, if you've seen the movie, you know that, like, when Bilbo goes to leave the ring, he's, like, keeps, like, trying to talk himself out of not leaving the ring. And that, like, that scares Gandalf, right? Because he's like, oh, the ring has power. But I never wasn't for sure it had power until you confirmed to me it had power. But maybe it had power after we fucked and we fucked the golem.
We fucked the golem. And then, like, Strider was up front and I was in the back.
he spoke a lot after that.
Oh, Shire! Baggins!
Fuck the Baggins. That's my ring. I found it in... Well, someone else found it in the water, but I wanted it, so I killed him.
Listen, Gollum was hard to torture, but he talked a lot after sex.
Like all men do.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, like before like he leaves, like he tells Frodo, like, look, there's the ring. He does the whole, like, throw it in the fire thing, like, all this shit. And it's just like, don't use the power of the ring. I'll be back. See ya.
One of the things that I thought I knew, I don't know if this is the case in the books, but I was under the impression that Gandalf actually had one of the elven rings of power.
maybe?
I think that's the case. I think he's got, I think it's him, Elrond, and Galadriel have a ring of power, but I might be wrong. It might be someone else.
I don't know, it would make sense.
I mean, he's not an elf, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean,
it talks about the ring race. It talks about how the dwarfs, they had 7 rings. Yeah. Sauron got 2 of them. And then the
I
other.
I really don't understand why this ring is so powerful.
So the reason the ring is powerful is because when Sauron possesses the ring, he's able to control all of the other ring bearers. So when you think of, I mean, he can already control the humans.
Which makes no sense, right? Because whenever anyone has put on the ring thus far, they just become invisible.
Well, yeah, that's because Sauron's, when Sauron has the ring, that's when it unlocks that additional power.
I become invisible and I whisper in their ears.
Don't do that. Suck a stick.
Tell those people. Wouldn't it be like so funny? He was the deceiver.
He's a,
makes sense to me.
Licking in his ear.
God, what's happening? So, I fucked everyone up except Elrond. I just lick his ear every once in a while. It drives him crazy.
It's so long. I love it.
Long ears. So what? It just drives them up the wall. I mean, like every like 10 years or so.
They're so sensitive. I love it.
He thinks I'm gone. I just sneak right up, look his ear, and walk away for another 10 years. He dies. I'm driving into insanity. But yeah, that's about as far as I got, was when Gandalf comes back and explains all the shit to Frodo. And Frodo, I love the scene where Frodo's like, I don't really want to do this. So you should do it because you're like an angel. And Gandalf is like, you know, what he said was so amazing. It was like such a gaslight movie. He was like, well, listen, this is what I think personally, Frodo. Just hear me out. I don't think Sauron knows about hobbits. Now, I'm like the only dude ever to like study hobbits. Like, even the hobbits don't know enough about hobbits.
It's like Games Workshop and female custodes.
Yeah, it's like, trust me.
They've always been there.
I'm pretty sure that the hobbits are vulnerable to the ring. What am I basing it off of? I know, because I'm Gandalf. So you should take the ring because you're a hobbit. Wait, so you're telling me Sauron just didn't know about hobbits when he made the ring? I don't think so.
You guys are like rats, but like kind of human. It's fine. They'll never know.
Listen, I've spent years fucking with you guys. I once hired your uncle to go to a mountain and kill a dragon. What the fuck?
And it fucking worked out. I don't know what happened.
I allied him with a bunch of dwarves.
And this shit worked. I don't know. Maybe, I mean, I am a fucking wizard, but you know, who knows?
Trust me, I've studied hobbitology. I know. Sauron had no fucking idea about the hobbits. Sauron, by the way, is also an angel.
Well, see, Sauron was also the necromancer, right?
Yes. That's another thing. The whole necromancer storyline from The Hobbit really came more so from the first 2 chapters of Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Where they defeated the necromancer, but he fled to Mordor. That's actually all it says. There's really nothing else.
It was very implied that he was Sauron.
Yeah. And Gollum apparently was following Bilbo as he was making his way to the mountain.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. And he's like eating children. It talked about how he would sneak into humans' houses and eat children. It was like, holy fuck. That's a, it's so scary. Then like Gandalf was like, I ain't going to kill you because you can be redeemed. I'm like, dude, he's been eating children. Like, I think you should kill him.
There's not very much redeeming coming from that.
That might be like the worst thing you could ever do. Like, I don't know if there's anything worse than eating a child.
Yeah, I'm very curious on how, like, Bilbo had the ring for 90 years.
Yeah.
Give or take. Like, so, like, we know, like, the movies, when Frodo has the ring, like, he's, like, getting fucking, like, sick and shit.
Yeah. Well, that's because he's getting closer to Sauron.
I'm curious on how that's done in the books.
Yeah, me too.
Or if it even happens in the books. Maybe it's just, Frodo's like, fine. I'm going to fuck Sauron.
Frodo's like, God, Gandalf was right. Like, his hobbitology studies really paid off.
I am so immune to this ring.
I mean, already you can see, like, Frodo isn't physically able to toss it into the fire of his fireplace.
Yeah.
And my thought immediately is, like, Gandalf, don't you think that's going to be a problem when he's literally having to toss the ring into fire?
I mean, it's a volcano. Or, you know, lava's like way cooler.
So Frodo would be like, this.
This shit's going to be sick.
I don't want to throw it away, but I kind of see what's going to happen.
Look, man, it showed letters and fire. Imagine what's going to do with fucking lava. It's going to be fireworks. There's going to be smoke signals. It's going to be the shit.
Sam, how many cubic millimeters of lava do you think that is?
Listen, Frodo, I only know cubic milliliters.
Oh, cubic milliliters, yes. How many cubic milliliters? At least two, Mr. Baggins. At least two.
More than 750. I know because this is 12%.
First off, I hope you know. Gosh. You know what? We'll just leave it at that. There is 750 cubic milliliters of wine in this bottle.
It's a very large bottle, maybe.
I just feel very sorry for your daughter and her education.
She will go to public school as well, so me too. It will be the same public school I went to.
I hope she goes to her mother for math help.
If she goes to me, she's fucked. Honestly, if she goes to me for most things, she's fucked. I'm like, hey, kid, look. I'm not the parent for this.
Maybe
when, if you want to go fuck around, I'm the parent.
She starts reading comments.
Know something, go to your mom.
Yeah.
Or the Google.
Yeah, or the Google. Go on the line.
Because I'm an idiot.
I think that's it.
Yeah. I mean, we have either a lot to go through next episode, or this is going to be a three-parter.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're just going to go as we go. We have plenty to talk about. Hang out with us if you're interested in Lord of the Rings. It won't take as long as Warhammer, that's for sure.
That is for goddamn sure. I mean, this one book is what, maybe one and a half books?
It's about the size of The End of the Death, Volume 3.
Ooh. I like how that one looks. That's a nice looking one.
Yeah, I know. I got the little book. It's collector's edition, and it comes with maps, visual aids.
There's been a few that I've like looked at getting. There's like one that's like actually just like all three books put into one that I thought about grabbing.
A map of East Gondor and Mordor. That's cool.
I really just love like how like the first of all, there's a fuck ton of different collector editions of these books. But man, there's a lot of them that look nice.
I don't know, like, depending on how much I really like this book, I think I'm going to get a pedestal in my basement and try to, like, order, like, a massive one.
That'd be cool.
That'd be kind of ridiculous.
That'd be fucking insane, but I'd love it. You can get Like, I got you the little, like, movie show. We can get the other two movies. I mean, you can get Creed and get the Hobbit ones, too.
Yeah.
And then just have, boom.
A shrine.
A shrine to Tolkien.
Did I tell you that I built another gaming table?
You told me that you started.
Oh, it's finished. It's 99% finished. I wood burned the symbols of the Chaos Gods into the table, and it looks fucking sick.
Yeah, is it at your house?
Yeah, I'll send some pictures in the Discord here in a few days when I get back home.
I'm intrigued.
It's fucking cool. It's kind of ridiculously large. I feel like a bit of a Bond villain. The play area is 5x7. There is no game in the world that is that large.
I mean, it has to be an improvement over the last gaming table you built.
Yes, it's all one. You can't take it apart. It's actually, like, I cannot, like, move it at all. It is very sturdy.
Is it as heavy as the pool table?
No.
Well, thank God, because that pool table is a fucking menace to society.
Yeah, it is. We were able to carry it from the garage around and through the basement door.
Oh, it fit through the door?
Well, we had to turn on the side and kind of angle the legs. It was like perfect. Like I tell you, it really fucking worked out.
So all those things are like, how the fuck did this work?
And I like literally created the design for it like 2 days before on some scratch paper. I'm like, wow.
I can't wait to not play Warhammer on this table.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking too. Man, I can't wait to play my first female custodes.
That'll be one model, I'm sure.
Uh-huh.
That'll be a named character that no one ever heard of, and then like, oh shit, guys, we should make a book about this and how she's been around since the Emperor.
No one reads. Not a single fucking person will read.
You're probably right.
We won't.
Not for a minute. Not, I mean, there's other Warhammer books I want to read. I would read before that anyway. Like, I want to read the Night Lord's Omnibus. I want to read my Karn book. I want to read my Angron book. I had not read the Lion book.
Eisenhorn?
Yeah, Eisenhorn. Gaunt's Ghost.
Yeah. Wren's World.
Wayne's World?
Is it Wren's World? Wren's World? Wren's World.
I have no fucking idea what you're talking about.
I think it's Wren's World. I don't know.
All I'm thinking is Wayne's World. Wayne's World. All right, we better shut the fuck up before. I mean, everyone tuned out a long time ago.
Well, they're so gone. It's just us two now.
As always, guys, hit us up on Discord. From that pin to our Twitter at Heresy Lodge. Emails at theheresylodge@gmail.com. Check us out on YouTube at The Heresy Lodge. Buy merch. There'll be new merch eventually. It'll happen when it happens.
Should probably wait for that, honestly. Maybe not buy merch today.
Unless you just really want to.
Yeah.
We'll accept it. That's it. You guys have a good one. We'll be back next week with more Fellowship of the Ring.